She surprised Melissa on Wednesday night, and it was an amazing potential video that was going to be shown, but the phone that it was being shot on ran out of space. Technology lets you down again. But I want to go ahead and open. Tara, do you want to join us?
Yeah.
Hey. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
He does answer prayer. We're going to go ahead and pray for Phyllis's son, Mark, right, Phyllis? Yeah, and he is in Santa Rosa. And I guess the way that Phyllis is communicating, that a lot of Santa Rosa has burned up. Houses, hotels, entire blocks. And his house is still standing, but he's ready to leave in case something happens. But we just want to pray for that whole area. And while we're at it, let's just pray for California, because we've been hit with fires here. And I'm sure they need like a major rainfall, it sounds like, down there. So, Father, we just come before your throne of grace right now. Lord, on behalf of California, on behalf of especially Phyllis's son, Mark, Lord, we pray that you would just come in, Lord, with your grace and your power, Lord, with your anointing, Lord, and just allow healing to come, Lord, to those who have been wounded and injured, Lord. Healing, Lord, to the land, Lord, that has been burnt up, and to the houses and the homes and all the destruction, Father. We pray that your grace, Lord, would be there. Lord, we pray that there would be just a supernatural touch from heaven with a flood of your rain, Lord. Not just physical rain, but the rain, Lord, of your peace and your comfort. And we just thank you, Jesus, that you see this. You know this, Lord. This is not something you're unaware of, Lord. And we believe that even now you're working on behalf of California in these fires. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just come before you today, Lord, and we prepare our hearts. Lord, we ask that you would just allow them to be filled, Lord, with your presence here. Filled with your anointing, God. Filled, Lord, with your full measure of love, Lord. That our hearts would be full of you today, Lord. And God, as we worship, as we sing, some of us, as we make a joyful noise, Lord, let it be pleasing in your sight. Let it be as an incense, Lord. Lord, we want to worship you in spirit and in truth today, not just with our mouths, not just with our hands and our motions, Lord, but out of our very abundance of our being, Lord, we want to worship you today. I want to give you the praise and the honor, adoration that you're due. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That's what happened.
Mountain.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Stood before my failures.
You guys be sure to tell Gate she was really missed last week. I'll tell her for sure, but going to deviate a little bit from, I'm going to sit here because looks like I'm lopsided, deviate a little bit this week from John and kind of go over a verse that has been in my heart, not just this week, but especially this week, and thought we could have a communication about it. Again, this is not a one-way street. It's a two-way street. And I don't want to drive down a one-way street, so. Has anybody ever done that? It's horrendous, especially if there's lots of traffic. They look at you like, who are you? Oh, yeah. Where'd you get your driver's license? Easy to do it in Seattle. Seattle, I don't know if they know what street signs are. It's like, sorry, Seattle, I didn't mean that as offense, but just speaking the truth in love. I've ended up way, way, way off the grid when I've gone to Seattle. I get on a street and you can't go anywhere else. 20 miles down the road, you can turn around. Okay. So Psalm 25:14. Actually, you know what? I'm going to do this. Let me get just a little out of the box. And we'll start it. You guys won't have it up there, but I'm just going to read a couple verses ahead of Psalm 25:14. That's not it. Got that song going through my head. Okay. Oh. Yeah. So, yes, you are.
Hopefully you're the only one out there.
No, Timmy did it. Timmy did it. He's good. Yeah. See, he's got seated right away. Okay. Psalm 25:14, but we're going to start in verse 12. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. Then it goes on to say, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. So again, the message today is knowing his secrets. Knowing his secrets. His being the Lord. I think most of us have had a secret told to you, and I think most of us sometimes have blown that, maybe unintentionally, not trying to gossip. You talk to the wrong person, and they communicate it to everybody and their dog, you know. But you know, there's something about, you know, confidentiality, you know, intimacy when someone's sharing a secret. Unless they're just a gossip and they just want to share secrets. But someone's personal, deep, intimate secret is based on relationship, right? I mean, I know people give really weird things and say really weird things over Facebook. Like they're divulging their secrets and it's like, why are you doing that? You know, we're just people out here. We have no relationship with you. But really, when we are sharing somebody with somebody, our deep, 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 I guess you could say, either feelings or maybe they're secrets, it's because of relationship. So the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. So how many have the idea that fearing God is to be like afraid or terrified of him because, well, he's God. And, you know, and he can do whatever he wants to.
whether that be, you know, destroy somebody or you know, bring havoc into their lives. Does anybody see the fear of God like that? Good. Nobody's raising their hand. Maybe they don't want to raise their hand. But this kind of fear that's talking about can mean terrified and afraid. But it's really talking about a reverential fear, which, you know, it says that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. I mean, he's, you know, he's an all-consuming fire. I don't know exactly how all that plays into that he's all love as well. Because how many know that God, one of God's main characteristic is he is love. So his all-consuming fire has to be motivated by love. And so for the type of fear that we're to have is to be motivated by love. Otherwise, in 1 John 4, why would it say that we're to let his complete perfect love eradicate all fear? So the fear that we're talking about is not a fear that, you know, you're just terrified to do something because you're going to get caught doing it. It's a fear of understanding that he is God. He is our creator. He loves us. He is all powerful. He can do anything he wants to. But that we have a relationship with him, that we honor him and respect him and live a life in honor and respect. Does that make sense? So it's out of that type of fear that we get to have and hear the secret of the Lord. Now, what is the secret of the Lord for me and the secret of the Lord for you? I think it's different because I think he shares secrets with us that are pertinent to our life in him. They may be pertinent to other things that are going on. I'm going to just go there for a moment because we did get a little ahead of time. When the Las Vegas incident happened, probably more than ever, I was feeling like, why was the whole church just caught completely off guard? That nobody was saying, hey, I sense we need to pray for Las Vegas or something like that. I mean, it seemed like everybody was caught off guard. I mean, I didn't anticipate that. I don't know if anybody did. It's possible the Lord revealed it to a few and they were praying, you know, and God maybe did miraculous things during that event because of their prayers. But, you know, we'll go on to see here that God at times has communicated to individuals about key things that were going to happen that will help change a situation. So the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. He will reveal his covenant. And his covenant is his promise that he's made, that he's bound himself to. You know, when God makes a covenant with us, it's more on his end than our end. Because it's very difficult for us to keep up our covenants with God. We're humans and we end up failing. Anybody agree? Yeah. Anybody ever failed? When you thought, Lord, this is it, we're going on, I'm not going to do that anymore, or I'm not going to think that way anymore, or, you know, I'm going to purpose in my heart to do this because I know it will please you, and because you have relationship with me, and then all of a sudden you're going like 2 weeks down the road, oh man, I'm such pond scum. No, I'm the bacteria on the pond scum or something like that. You know, even lower than, you know what I mean? You start really feeling bad about yourself. So he will show them his covenant. He will reveal to them his covenant. And so this is a promise I believe that we can take. I'll rehearse this verse in my heart. I'll say, Lord, teach me to fear you. We were talking a little bit on Wednesday night at Zeke's, and this subject came up, and the idea that fearing God and fearing the Lord was the thing that it says that Jesus delighted in. Oh yeah, you did it with that, huh? Oh boy, you could have just said something, and I forgot BBB. Okay, pause. This is an intermission. I'm going. My watch is going off. So we're going to send the kids downstairs. I haven't done it for so long. I forgot And Zeke texts me. But as Jesse knows, sometimes I don't look at my texts once I get started. So, kids, you want to come on up? Yeah. And we can thank Zeke and Tara for preparing a lesson. Thank you, guys. Praise the Lord. Well, Father, we just pray right now for these lives, Lord, that are going to go down, Lord, that we pray that they would just be blessed, Lord, that they would learn about you, Lord, and that they would be able to leave today, Lord, richly blessed by you and knowing more of who you are. We just thank you, Lord, for their lives, and thank you, God, that you're working in their lives for your good pleasure. In Jesus' name, amen. And the 21st of October at 11 a.m. Yeah, 11 a.m., right, Cheyenne? 11 a.m. Got that down. 11 a.m., we're going to have at our house the BBB, and we think it's Bible Blessing.
Bible Breakfast and Blessing.
Bible Breakfast and Blessing in that order. Yeah. So you're going to have the Bible before breakfast?
No, breakfast, Bible, breakfast.
There we go. I think you're all going to be blessed. So anyway, so that will be at 11 a.m. That's the house next door, the parsonage. So I invite you all to come. And Gay will have something, I'm sure, prepared. She likes to really host and entertain. So I'm sure you'll have plenty of food and plenty of Bible and plenty of blessing. So praise the Lord. And thank you for reminding me earlier about that. Not when it was crucial, but just like Zeke. I'm like, look at the kids. I'm right here. I don't want to interrupt. It's like, okay, this is kind of driving me nuts. All right, here we go. Let's get back into that. The intermission is over, the commercial's done, and now we're back to it. So, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show his covenant to them. Let's look at this. This is another verse. And it says, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. This is a scripture that makes me think about Las Vegas. Okay. Now, obviously, I don't believe that God was the one who was, you know, the instigator of Vegas. But do you think God knew that that was going on at the moment it was going on? Yes. And so I believe that as we have relationship with him and can get closer to him, that he can let us in on things that we can pray about and maybe see them never happen. Now, wouldn't it have been awesome if Las Vegas never happened? Although it had been totally planned out that something stopped it right in the middle of it. And, you know, we've had reports that there were, you know, terrorist attacks that were getting ready to go on in New York, and they stopped them before they happened. I believe somebody was praying. Somebody was covering that place. And so know that you know, you as a child of God, as his daughter, have a prophetic heart in you. Even though you may not be a prophet, you can still hear from the Lord. And so I'm not trying to get you guys to sit here and you know, feel guilty for not catching, but I'm trying to get us to rise above maybe our thought process that we're just, you know, here and we just are being subject to whatever happens around us. That maybe we have a role to play in bringing restoration and healing. Amen? All right. Here's another verse that I think is very interesting. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So there's things that are secret to the Lord, and they belong to him. But there's already things that he has revealed, and revealed that this time he was revealing to Moses the revelation of the Ten Commandments, the law, living their Jewish and Hebrew heritage. And they belong to them and their children. But even though the Lord had secret things that belong to him, when you have relationship with him, he will share his heart with you. He will share. And he's not sharing like, you know, my secrets with you. Oh, you want to know what Pastor Mike's doing? You know, he's not sharing, you know, somebody else's dirty laundry. Unless he wants you to pray for them and bless them, not so that you can be aware of how low they've fallen, but that you can help raise them up and restore them to a place of being who God called them to be. This is where Gay would add a really amazing statement. I can tell. I just hear it right now. It'd be really good. Okay. I don't got anything else. So here we go. Proverbs 25:2. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of a king of kings is to search out a matter. So what is this saying? It says that there's things that are hidden, that God has hidden because it's part of part of his glory. And there's things that as kings, and how many know you that you're not just, you know, children of God, but you're also kings. He's made us kings and priests to him. I know it's hard to understand that because, like, well, how can I be a king? You know, I'm just a little, you know, churchgoer. I'm just, you know, a Christian that's just been saved by grace. But he's made us kings and priests. Maybe we don't see it in fulfillment right now, but the reality is we are. So the glory of a king is to search out a matter. What does that mean? That means that we can search the deep things of God. I know times when I've read my Bible and I've studied that all of a sudden a truth has hit my heart that literally brought transformation and change to my life. Does that happen to anybody else? Have you ever just like read something in the Bible and it's like, oh my goodness, this is communicating something to me that I didn't even understand before. I mean, I didn't get this and now I'm getting it. And it's like all of a sudden you realize that maybe others had it, you know, because there's times I did, you know, I talked to somebody, did you know that? Oh yeah, I knew that. Well, I didn't know that. It's like, you know, and to me, it brought life. It brought light. It brought even strength to my life. You guys are quiet. You're soaking in. Okay. All right, well, let's get to a story here. 2 Kings 6. I'm not going to read everything, but I'll read some key verses. But this is a story. I guess this one I can go ahead and start where it does. So at verse 8. It says, now the king of Syria was making war against Israel. Now Syria is an enemy at times, has been an enemy at times with Israel. And there was times that they had some kind of like mutual agreement. But most of the time, Syria was their enemy. So this is one of the times when Syria was their enemy. Was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. So what's happening here is that the king of Syria is saying, okay, we're going to go and we're going to encamp in a place, and we're going to trap Israel, and we're going to basically ambush them. We're going to get them. You know, and so what's happened is that a prophet comes to the king and says, listen, you don't want to go to this location. You want to stay away from it because Syria is planning on ambushing you. And the king says, okay, well, I'll not go, but I'm going to send just someone to make sure that what you're saying is true. And sure enough, the army of Syria is waiting there. And it says that it didn't happen just once or twice. So who knows how many times this happened. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? So I want to know who's betraying me. I want to know who's selling me out. I want to know who's telling the king of Israel our plans. Right? Verse 12 says, And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." Whoa. Now, I have one question. How did that servant know that? Right? That was a servant in the know somehow as well. But Elijah was getting from the Lord some deep secrets, I would say. And I don't know if Elijah was actually in his bedroom listening. I mean, that's kind of the way it makes it sound. But I think he was getting from God the secrets that the king was telling to his most personal confidants. And those ended up being plans that were going to be destroying Israel. And guess what? Elijah said, "Nope, it's not going to happen, king. Don't go there." So then the king of Syria says, so he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him." And it was told him, saying, "Surely he is in Dotham." Now this is a great story. It continues on, but for time purposes, I won't get into all of it. But basically what ends up happening is the Syrian army goes to Elijah, and they find him at his house. And the servant of Elisha is saying, we're really in trouble. And Elisha says, "Oh, no, we're not in trouble. There's more here with us than there are of the king's army." And Elisha asked the Lord to open the servant's eyes. He saw all the armies of God surrounding all the mountains. The Syrian army was struck with blindness, took him to the king of Israel, opened up their eyes, and the whole Israel army was surrounding them. So just another point of the supernatural powers of God. So here's another, I guess for lack of a term, story that communicates this idea of that the secret things of God are not just meant to be always secret, or the secret things of others. Daniel 2:19 through 22. Now this one I do need to kind of preface. Daniel and his peers or friends or, I guess they were friends. I'm trying to think of the name. They were serving in the court of the king together as wise men. And there was a dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had that was very, very troubling to King Nebuchadnezzar. And he says, "Okay, I want you to tell me my dream and what it means," to his wise men. And his wise men said, "Well, king, you know, why don't you tell us your dream? Then we'll tell you what it means." He says, "Oh, no. You're not going to pull one over on me. You tell me my dream, and you tell me what it means. And if you don't, then I'm going to have all the wise men in Babylon destroyed." So this is the scenario when Daniel enters in. They're getting ready to, you know, to be told that, you know, all the wise men are being destroyed, including you, Daniel, and your friends. Verse 17, "Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions." The decision that he made is that Daniel was going to seek the Lord about what was going on with the king's dream, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him." Now, if that's not another verse that could tell us that we don't always have to be ignorant of events going on, right? But how many of us are seeking the Lord for things that are coming up that we could potentially pray against? I mean, I don't enough. I'm just being honest, you know. I, a lot of times, can just be bombarded by the world, and it seems like I'm just, you know, like everybody else watching it on the news and scratching my head most of the time. You know, how did that happen? You know, and then as more and more details came out, what happened? You know, I mean, you look at some of the things that are reported a certain way, and then a little while longer, it's like it's not being reported that way. Something else was happening. So I would like to be close to the Lord, in the fear of the Lord, where the secrets of the Lord are part of my relationship with God. That secret counsel of God, that intimacy of his knowledge is shared with me. Of course, what's applicable for me to know. Right.
And the Lord shows it to us how it is.
Right.
And they, because they won't see it, the person that he's, you know, trying to get us to pray for. But do you think that that's where the act of the gift of discernment comes in?
I think discernment's definitely a part of it, because discerning, you know, whether it's good or evil, discerning whether it's of God or not of God. So that, you know, but I think there's also, which, you know, getting a little ahead of ourselves, but there's also the Holy Spirit in us. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And the Holy Spirit reveals all truth. And so I don't think that that means that the Holy Spirit is just going to tell us about verses in the Bible. Or the Holy Spirit's just going to tell us, you know, where we left our car keys, you know. Because I've heard people doing that before. Lord, Holy Spirit, where did I leave my car keys, you know? And Holy Spirit tells you, because he knows all things. Right. Right. It's possible that out of discernment, you pick up on something, you go to the Lord in relationship, and then he reveals to you, you know, the issues behind it. But, yeah, I agree with you. It's not all discernment. It's about relationship. Yeah. And through relationship, you know, I mean, you guys obviously have relationship with different people, whether it be, you know, parents, or whether it be, you know, siblings, or whether it be best friends. And there's just times that they just share things out of their heart, you know, and that's the same thing with the Lord. The Lord has things in his heart, you know, which it's hard for us to relate, you know, because he's got everything on his mind at all times. So how can he have a specific thing in his heart? Well, I believe that each one of us has certain things that the Lord has on his heart for us to be part of. You're going to say something, Cameron? Yeah, the thing is like we're using this heart term a lot. If you think about it, when someone betrays your confidence, it's your heart that's hurt. You know, because you've shared your heart with them. You're making yourself vulnerable by sharing, you know, a secret, you know. And again, you know, it's not quote unquote always a bad secret. Sometimes it's just deep personal feelings, but that you don't want anybody else to know. You know, maybe there's internal struggles that you're going through, and you know, and you don't want everybody to know all your internal struggles, because they're internal. But some individuals, because they're close to your heart, and you believe they have your heart and you have their heart, that you have a confidence and an intimacy to share that. That's good. Okay, so let's look at John 15:15. Jesus is saying this now, and he's speaking to his disciples. But keep in mind, I believe that it's not just for his disciples, it's for all of us. And he says, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing." Servant does not know the secret things of his master. "But I've called you friends, for all things that I have, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you." All things that he heard from his Father, he made known to them. And you're saying, well, how do I, you know, equate into that? Well, we'll see that later on. But to him, He wasn't holding anything back. Jesus wasn't holding anything back that he had received from the Father. He had communicated it 100% to his disciples. That's what it says, right? All the deep secret things of the kingdom of God, all the deep secret things, now did they understand it? For the most part, we understand that they didn't understand it. Or at least they were putting it in the wrong context when he would say something. They would always think, oh, yeah, you're gonna set up a kingdom, you're going to be the ruler, and we're going to be hanging around you, and it's going to be amazing, and we'll get all these people in order. I mean, that's what they were thinking when he was talking about a kingdom, and that, you know, it was his kingdom, and that they were part of it. You know, they're thinking, yeah, you know. But later on, they found out that this was a supernatural, spiritual kingdom that really had no landing place here on this earth other than in our hearts. Like he said, you can't see the kingdom of God. You know, you can't say it's coming from over there or it's over here because it's within you. And they didn't understand that. They thought, no, it's within us, but we'll take the kingdom. You know, they were ready. And to where Peter said, hey, you know, I'll fight for the kingdom. You know, I'll fight for you, Lord. Nobody's going to take you. We're gonna make sure that you are in your rightful place. They didn't understand his rightful place was on the cross. That was his kingdom. They were looking for glory. Yes. They were looking for the second King David. Yep. Messiah to them was the deliverer from Rome and from all the oppression, not the deliverer from their broken hearts and their broken relationship. Right. John 16:13. Now this is talking about the Holy Spirit. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will, and he will tell you things to come. Let me try it one more time. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So, again, I mean, he's going to tell and lead them into all truth, lead us into all truth, and whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you or us of things to come. So I think there's promises within this that we can hold on to, that we don't have to be ignorant of the times that we live in, or even ignorant of circumstances and situations that happen to us personally, our families, our workplaces, or our state. I mean, just keep moving on and on. I don't think we have to be, you know, blindsided. And maybe this is a big overhaul for all of our thinking, because, you know, most of us think we are just, you know, just information gatherers or life experiencers, and that we really don't have, other than, you know, maybe the personal interaction we have with somebody, we can make that big of a difference. I believe we can. I believe God wants people to rise up in this hour, in this day, that will be changers of circumstances and changers of situations and changers of people's lives. And it doesn't necessarily mean that we're always just going to have to speak to people. Sometimes it can be on our knees in prayer. Thank you, Lord. 1 Corinthians 2:9-12. This is our final verse. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. So as it is written, natural eye hasn't seen, natural ear has not heard, nor has it even entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Now, you can leave it at that, and you can make it sound like, okay, well, my eye hasn't seen, my ear hasn't even entered in my heart, and what's going on with the Lord towards my life. But notice at the end, he puts a but. And what's but mean? Like, however, or what I just said is going to be added to with a condition, right? But God has revealed them to us, how? Through his Spirit. And where is the Holy Spirit? Guys? Living in us. Holy Spirit has habitation inside of us. Holy Spirit is in the indwelling part of God that we all experience when we receive Christ as Savior. Comes fully alive within us, and we are God's children because of it. I think we looked at that a couple of weeks ago. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Notice, Jesse, it's the deep things of God that the Spirit searches. We talked a little bit about the deep things of God on Wednesday night. The Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. So the secrets of God, the inner depths of God, the heart of God, the Spirit searches. And God reveals them to us through His Spirit. Looking at verse 11, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. We have received. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. And again, it's like saying we have not received, but we have not received the spirit of the world. We do not have the spirit of the world. I don't care how much you act like it. I don't care how much you make mistakes that look like you're modeled after the world or conformed. That's not the spirit that we've received. We have received the Spirit of God. All of that other stuff is leftover baggage from your old man, your old nature, your fallen state that has not been consecrated and fully surrendered to the Spirit of God in you. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So why have we received the Spirit of God? That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. We've received the Spirit of God so that the Spirit of God would communicate to us what we have from God. Salvation, the supernatural empowerment that comes from the Spirit of God, the grace, the love, the joy, that's all being communicated to us by how? The Word, and then the Holy Spirit confirms it in us. Hello. So I'm going to do something here. I'm going to go all the way back. Try to. Hello. It doesn't like going fast. Hold on. One more. So the secret of the Lord, the heart of the Lord, the intentions of the Lord and desires of the Lord are revealed to those who fear Him. So, do we fear Him? I mean, that's one of the things that I've been asking myself. Lord, okay, Your secrets, Your desires, Your heart is revealed to those who fear You. So, do I really know how to fear You? Because I have to ask myself that. Because I'm going, if I'm not hearing the secrets, or if I maybe don't have an awareness that I can, is there truly a fear in my heart? Now, I fear the Lord. I love the Lord. But is there another level that as His kids we need to get to? I mean, is there another level of walking in a fear of God like Jesus did, that He feasted on it, He delighted in it, that He savored it? It's like the fear of the Lord to Jesus, it describes in Isaiah 11, is like this plate that was presented for Him that had this steak that had just been freshly cooked, a nice ribeye, medium rare, if about an inch thick, okay? Maybe an inch and a half thick. We'll make it, I mean, you know how that just smells after it's been cooked? And, you know, and all the side trimmings, everything. And it's like he just sat there and went, oh, I can't wait to dive into this. That's what the fear of the Lord was to Jesus. I mean, it was like something he was going to feast on. I don't do that. Just being honest. I'm sharing my heart with you. I don't do that to the level that I know is necessary to be walking in this place of hearing God's heart on a regular basis. But I think it's for us. I mean, I think it was very clear that the Holy Spirit's been given to us in such a way that we will know those things. But I believe it also comes through relationship. I think God is waiting for friends to rise up that hang out with him. Not because they have to meet some kind of dutiful, you know, quota. I'm hanging out with you 1.2 hours a week, 10 minutes every, you know, to the place where it is, you know, and yes, you can have an appointment made with the Lord, but you're doing that because it's the right thing to do, not because it's an act of relationship. No marriage would survive that way. Can you imagine? I mean, if you went on a date with your gay, and I like to go on date nights and or date lunches. We haven't been able to do as many as we've wanted to lately, but we tried to do them once a week, and we would just go to lunch and just, you know, and we would, you know, most of the time turn off our phones, unless we're going to look at our phones at something together, you know, like try to schedule something. But, you know, we don't go there and both just stare at our phones and say, you know, okay, well, I'm just getting in this 1.2 hours with you so that we can say we did it. And I mean, it's about knowing each other's heart. You know, what's been going on? You know, how's your day? You know, how's your week? In our case, next time I'll say, how's your month? You know, it's like, not that we don't talk to each other, but there's something about that appointment, that intimacy where you're away from all the distractions, except maybe the bad food that you may eat if you go to a restaurant or something like that. But my point being is, if you had a relationship with God, you know, or you had a relationship with someone, the way that you have the relationship with God, that could be a bad thing. It may be a good thing for some. I don't want to put anybody in a bad camp when you're in a good camp. If you're in a good camp, pray for me, because I believe that this verse is a challenge to me. When I read this verse, I go, Lord, I want to agree with this verse in my life. I want you to teach me what it means to fear you. Because I've had a perspective throughout my whole Christian experience of what it means to fear God. And I've gone from the thing where I just want to please him, stay on his good side, you know, want to, you know, follow all of the Christianese that I know so that I'm, you know, in the faith. You know, it says in I think it's in Timothy, you know, continue to make sure that you're in the faith, Timothy. Well, I wanted to make sure I was in the faith, but that was I doing all of the right checks, and was I making all the, getting all the ducks in a row, you know? And if you put ducks in a row, guys, they walk out. Ducks in a row doesn't work. They don't stay where they're supposed to stay. Unless they're plastic ducks, then what's the use, right? Well, you ever thought about that? Got all my ducks in a row? Anyway, go ahead.
The expression is, I have all my ducks in a pond, I can't guarantee them a row.
But, there you go.
But, you know, a lot of it was balance. Because I was thinking about that this morning when I was getting ready to teach that. Gotten to the place where God is so benevolent to us that we forget to fear or reverential him, because we've just come to expect him to be so benevolent. And, you know, and a lot of us grew up, you know, with hellfire and brimstone, or, you know, to fear God that way, legalistically.
Right, like a fear that if I mess up,
right.
Oh boy.
And now I'm in
right.
A place where, and in a, you know, a church that says, it's okay to be human. You know, and then sometimes I forget that I need to be a little less human, you know what I mean? And a little more reverential, because I can talk to people about God and the things that he's done for my life, you know, and I get to do that on a, you know, pretty frequent basis, but I forget to be reverential.
Right.
Or just be like, oh man, you know, this is just more than awesome, you know, it becomes like part of the conversation.
Well, I mean, if you look at Jesus' life, I don't think, you know, Jesus was walking around, you know, worrying that, you know, that he was going to mess up all the time, you know. But it says that he, see, so how we see Jesus living in almost a freedom, you know, and a, just almost a liberty to just be who he was called to be is all based on the fear of the Lord. So something was going on behind the scenes. I mean, I know many people have tried to see everything Jesus did and then just go out and try to mimic it. But the problem is, without the motivation behind why Jesus did everything he did, then all you're doing is just, you know, copycatting. Because, yeah, I mean, Jesus, you know, reached down and got mud and had it put in a blind man's eyes and then had him, you know, basically make it so he could see again, you know, and there's times he spit in somebody's eyes, you know, and so, you know, you can say, oh, well, let's see, I don't, which one is it this time? I'll try the mud and then, you know, and I'll try the spittle, you know. And it's like, then other times he just put his hands on somebody, you know, and sometimes he just spoke a word. But that was all based on the fear of God. And that those, I believe those were moments when he was getting the secrets of the Father. Knowing people's hearts. What?
Or what he brought with him.
Or what he brought with him, yep.
The level of trust too. How much they trust in him.
Mm-hmm.
How much faith they have.
Oh, you mean the people in him? Yeah. Well, I mean, there's definitely times that Jesus operated by someone else's faith as it was being drawn out. My point being is that as he lived, he was living in the fear of the Lord. His whole life was just an offering to the Father as a honor of that savoring dish of the fear of the Lord. And so if it's the fear of God that leads us to the place where the secrets of the Lord are revealed to us, and his covenant, his plan, his purposes, his will, his desires, his promise to us, then I think it's something we need to strive for. God, how can I fear you? Teach. And the thing is, what happened is that individuals would maybe get a revelation of the fear of God. And maybe for certain individuals, it was necessary to have that, that really, you know, oh God, you know, and maybe there were things in his life that they wanted, that the Holy Spirit wanted corrected. Well, guess what then? Someone said, okay, if it works for me, now I'm going to put these same things on you. And so what did we end up having? We had denominational guidelines, or we had church guidelines, or we had strict rules that people had to follow. No dresses, you know. Well, that may have been for one person. Maybe, you know, and that may have been for a couple. But then they wanted to impose that on everybody. It's possible the Holy Spirit can tell you something to do that he doesn't care if anybody else does it, because it's not affecting them the way it's affecting you. Case in point, there's certain movies that I can't watch because things were going on in my heart. And I was saying, Lord, why are these going on in my heart? And I said, well, what do you fill yourself with? You know, and what do you mean? What kind of movies are you watching? You know, what kind of things are you watching with your eyes? I said, oh, okay, why did I ask that? You know, it's like, but I started being obedient to what he asked me to do in regards to movies, and those things left. I didn't have them anymore. So guess what? I could have said, well, guess what, guys? I've got the secret now. You guys shouldn't watch these movies. You know, let's start off that way. I highly encourage you not to watch these movies, you know. And then as people, maybe another person does it, oh, I'm doing so much better. Well, that worked for them. Now, let's just make it this way. We can't watch these movies because God wants it that way. Well, no, he's dealing with me. So when God's dealing with a person about an individual thing in their life, and if he's dealing with you about an individual thing in your life, don't go try to put that on somebody else. I mean, you're not the Holy Spirit. They have the Spirit of truth inside of them. He will correct them and guide them. Maybe it'll take some time. Maybe, yeah, you think you can speed up the process, but usually what we end up doing is throwing mud on it, because then somebody just told them not to do something, like, by gosh, by golly, I'm going to do it, you know, because you brought the law in front of them, and the law says that when the law is revealed, guess what? Sin's activated. So now you've just activated sin in them, even worse. Okay. Anybody have anything else? So what do you think we need to do then as people of God? We need to find out how we are to each individually fear the Lord. How do we do this, Lord? How is it that I live out fearing you? Not the way that Vicky does, not the way, you know, that Jerry does, or the way that somebody we hear on TV does. How do I fear you? Each and every one of us has an individual walk in the fear of the Lord. Even Jesus had his own fear of God that he walked in. Right? But he wants us to know his secrets. God really wants us to know his secrets, I believe. I believe that, as Jesus said, listen, you're not servants. You're not hired hands, you know. You're not somebody I'm just paying here to do a job. You're my friends. And I want to tell you the intimate things of my heart. And I have told you the intimate things of my heart. And I believe Jesus shows us the heart of the Father. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So if Jesus was that way, I believe my Father is that way. And David had a handle on it. That was a Psalm of David. He knew that if he feared God in a reverential, intimate relationship, that God would reveal secrets to him. And we know he did, because we know we have Psalm... Was it 24? What's the psalm? I'm trying to think. 20. Help me. What's 22? What's the psalm where he literally gives the full illustration of Jesus on the cross? They were, you know, using lots for his clothing. His hands were, feet were pierced. What?
Before crucifixion even existed.
He saw the secret things of the Father. Okay. Psalm 22, I think. I may be wrong.
King David was perfect, by the way.
He was perfect? Wow.
It is 22.
Psalm 22.
I'm just saying.
Ephesians? You need a microphone up there.
Psalm 22.
Yeah, let me show you here. I'm not lying. I really am telling the truth. So it starts here. Yeah, it starts at verse 1. It says to the chief, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? And from the words of my groaning, oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. You are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Oh, fathers, trust, our fathers trusted in you. They trusted, and you delivered them. They cried to you, and were delivered. They trusted in you, and were not ashamed. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. That's almost verbatim what the people said to Jesus while he was on the cross. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breasts. I was cast upon you from birth, from my mother's womb. You have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is no one to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of my death. Brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I count all my bones. They look at me and stare at me. They divide my garments among them. And for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. And it goes on. Again, this is David, the same one who found that relationship of intimacy with God. And friendship with God, and found out, I believe, the secret things of God. This is called a messianic psalm, because it describes Jesus on the cross. It describes the fact that, you know, his mouth was so dry. I mean, there's doctors who've read this and said, this is exactly what it would be like if somebody was on the cross. So It is true. We can know the secret things of the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we are your children. And Lord, you have not called us your servants, but you have called us, Lord, also your friends. And so, Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that each and every one of us would learn our way, Lord, the way that you have designed us, of fearing you, walking in a reverential fear and lifestyle of fear in the Lord. Lord, we surrender, Lord, our own ways. We surrender our own ability of understanding, even fearing you, God. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to teach us and lead us into this truth of how to be fearful individuals, walking before the Lord in an honor and a respect and a godly fear. Lord, we don't want a fear, Lord, that causes us to be worrying all the time about your judgment. That's not the fear we need, Lord. We need the fear, God, that honors you in love and that honors you in such a way that wants to have deep, personal, intimate relationship with you. So we thank you, Lord, that you desire that for us. That I'm praying a prayer, Lord, that your heart already desires, Lord. So I believe that we're in agreement, Lord. So we come into full agreement with this and we say, amen. Let it be, Lord, as we have communicated today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Nobody else had anything, huh? The 28th is Stand Out, and that will be in the church, the Warm Church, at 1 p.m. 1 to 5. Okay. So we'll work out the details where we'll be and all that stuff. So, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then again, BBB next week, 21st, 11. Okay, God bless you all. Have a wonderful day.